you get to create what you want to create, and you shouldn't let people tell you that you have to do certain things. If you don't like dentures, stop doing dentures.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the Millennial Dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
All right, welcome back. So if you tuned in last week, this is a continuation next week. So we're going to jump right in. Brett with Digital Doc here. We're talking about dentistry, state of dentistry, some just good things that hopefully pearls, just tons of pearls. And Brett, as we wrapped up, we had a teaser on the last one. We left them on a cliffhanger. You asked me, what would you ask? I already forgot.
We were talking about you wanting it more for a
patient. Oh, that's what it was. Yep.
So wanting it more for patients than they want it for themselves. There's a fine line here, and anyone in sales, and people talk about sales being a dirty word.
Oh, it is sales. Absolutely. Yeah.
We're living in sales. We're educating people to the point where they're making
sales. Our patients think we're a commodity. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to think that way, but that's what they think. So it's sales.
100%. So let's just all agree that it is. So let's get good at it. With the patient, with any type of sales, talk about that. Wanting it more, because you can certainly want it more for anyone than they want it for themselves.
Yeah. So I think the first way I want to answer this is that we've got to do a better job. I think good salespeople are good about not projecting their influence one way or another, or their value system on the patient or the person that they're trying to talk to about something. Meaning, Brett, are you a car guy?
Not so much a car guy.
Point taken. So like T-Bone's a huge car guy. So like if I were to start talking to you about cars, and like you come to a car dealership and I'm like, well, you need to get this package, this thing, we want to get this amount horsepower, you're probably like, yeah, that doesn't resonate with me. And if I don't listen to you and hear what your value system is, now I'm selling you with my value system. Whereas if I go try to sell T-Bone something and I don't recognize that like T-Bone's a guy he's going to get the most top of the line package just because if he doesn't want to ever not have a feature and need the feature.
Got it.
So I could talk him out of it and be like, Brett, there's no, like, you don't need to be able to, you never tow things. So why would you buy the tow package? And that would be looking at it from my perspective, not his perspective. Do you follow me?
Sure.
So I think first and foremost is we've got to stop presenting treatment from our mindset of what we would do and judging with our pocketbooks. Because most dentists make way more money and have way more opportunity than other people. And so like they have their teeth. And so it's like you can't make decisions for people based off your lens of looking at things. It's the same thing with team members. A lot of our team members that present treatment make, and there's no disrespect, it's just reality, somewhere between $15 and $30 an hour if they can't afford the majority of the dentistry we're doing. Like, that's a real fact. So we got to have a better job of understanding that our job as a profession is to present what we see. Risks, benefits, alternatives, and then let the patient choose with what they want to do based off their standpoint. So I asked a lot of questions like, Brett, are you proactive or reactive?
Proactive.
Perfect. And typically what we would do in a situation like this is this dentistry.
What if they said reactive?
No problem. I'm more of a proactive person, Brett, but some people in that situation would do this. They may wait till it breaks. But if you notice my demeanor or my pushiness is very light, meaning I will say little influential things to try to like still somewhat mitigate where I want you to go, like guide you.
Sure.
But I'm much more flippant in the understanding because I'm not trying to get a high case acceptance. And this is a kind of, I guess, another groundbreaking 3D dentist thought in that we try to decrease case acceptance. Now, what do I mean by that?
Tell me more.
So if we're striving for 100% case acceptance, then we're kind of missing the understanding that dentistry is super expensive. And so I can get 100% case acceptance if I only present fillings and crowns.
Right.
Now, if you start presenting comprehensive dentistry, do most patients, can they afford that?
No.
No. No matter what financing, they can't afford it. Most patients can't afford $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. Like people that have no teeth, Not all of them can afford fixed hybrids. So if you present every patient in the world that has no teeth fixed hybrids, what's your case acceptance going to be? It's going to be very low. So you got to understand that, like, part of the reason that I want to see people drop their case acceptance is not that they're getting less yeses, but what I want to see is them present more dentistry, knowing that naturally it is going to decrease their case acceptance. So if I hear someone say, like, I always laugh because people do these lectures at these big meetings, like, how to get 100% case acceptance or how to improve your case acceptance. And I'm like, it's teaching the wrong thing, because really we're not giving patients even the options to say yes to all the dentistry.
I believe when I look at case acceptance and increasing case acceptance, it's more of just the skills that we're discussing. It's those verbal skills. It's how do you present? How do you connect with the consumer in the chair? How do you build your own self-confidence to be able to deliver a monthly payment to a patient?
So this is a good point, because I think I would disagree with you in that. I think dentists, on some level, the problem, and it does have to do with their confidence indirectly, but I don't think people have very low case acceptances. I think most dentists, like, have y'all met a dentist where they're like, my case acceptance sucks?
No, most people believe it's far higher than it is.
Right. I believe that it's more of a diagnostic problem and communication problem. Meaning they're not, if I guarantee you, if we put 10 dentists in a room and we showed 10 different patients, I would out present dentistry to all of them.
Okay, so we could discuss diagnostically, but I believe on the verbal skills, on the ability to connect with them verbally, that's a skill that's learned. And where I'm going with that is, if we were to listen to those 10 dentists like we would listen to the person up front in a dental practice answering the telephone, it's sometimes difficult to get through that.
Well, I don't agree with you. I mean, I disagree. I mean, I totally agree with you on that.
So if we're listening to them and we're cringing, it's like, what are we saying?
But if I only present, if I only ask you to do two crowns, what's my best case scenario?
You're going to do
two crowns.
You're going to do two crowns.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, my point is that even if we improve dentist case acceptance by 5%, it's only going to be a marginal increase, because they're not presenting all the dentistry that's there.
I agree with you. So case acceptance leading to more of the dentistry that you would want to do.
Yes.
Bigger cases.
Right.
But so diagnostics, verbal skills.
Meaning most dentists only do veneers when the patient asks for veneers.
Agreed.
So my point is my case acceptance getting people to say yes to veneers is pretty high. Now, if you look at it relative to the amount of patients I have that actually do veneers, it's crazy low. Because we're not asking most patients, hey, do you like your teeth?
So you're driving dentistry out of the patients that are coming in the door not looking for that particular type of dentistry.
If we're waiting for the patient to diagnose themselves, then that's a great point.
So it could be a marketing play of how you're bringing patients into the practice.
I think that's the problem is people think they have to go market to get the patients to come ask for the dentistry. And my argument is all these patients are sitting in their practices. They just never asked. I'll give you an example. I think this is a good example that maybe hopefully will tie this up, because I think I'm just not articulating it as well as I want to be. I go to check a patient in hygiene 4 or 5 years ago, doing the hygiene exam. I get done, sit the patient up. Brett, everything looks good. We'll see you in 6 months. She goes, hey, before you leave, I have a question. Do you know Dr. Wells down the street? And I was like, yeah. He's Dennis Wells. He's a big cosmetic guy, kind of known for prepless veneers, like teaches, like very well-known dentist. She goes, yeah, I'm thinking about getting some cosmetic dentistry done. And I was like, what do you mean? Because in my mind, like, your teeth look great. She's like, yeah, this was kind of around COVID. She's like, I just don't like how my teeth look on Zoom. I just want to get them whiter. And so I'm looking about getting veneers done by a cosmetic dentist. And I said, you do realize that, like, we do cosmetic dentistry. We do veneers here. And she goes, no, I had no idea.
Your blood pressure is starting to increase.
Yeah, but like she was like, yeah, I have no idea. I was like, yeah, absolutely. So long story short, I talked my way out of that one. Ended up doing, I think, eight veneers on her daughter and like 8 veneers on her friend or 10 veneers on one, you know, like whatever. Ended up being like $65,000 to $80,000 out of one conversation. And it was the most eye-opening thing for me ever, because in that moment, I realized that it was not a case acceptance issue. It was a communication and diagnostic issue, meaning I never offered were never asked, do you like your teeth? I went in there like most dentists, and I looked in there, and there were no cavities. There was no gum disease. There was no glaring aesthetic issue to my eyes.
Sure.
Because I'm judging you with my values, and if I think your teeth look good, then they're good. And I never asked the question that gave the patient the autonomy to say, hey, do you like this? And as soon as, and she brought it up to me. So my point in this is, I really don't think that, I'm with you that it is cringeworthy to listen to dentists sometimes, and that we've got to improve the communication and the verbal skills and et cetera. But I still believe that the bigger challenge we have is that dentists aren't even including their patients in the process and asking them, what would they like? Hey, Brett, have you ever thought about replacing this missing tooth?
So when you're asking the questions, you're asking with a visual, or are you just asking?
Oh, a visual is the best.
Every time?
Every time. All the time. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like our rule of thumb in our practice is we don't go into the operatory, like the hygiene operatory, unless there's a picture on the screen.
Yeah.
As it should be. Every time.
Every time.
But all the cosmetic cases. So, you're not delivering the large cosmetic case with a single tooth on the image or on the screen.
No, that's why I think, that's the downside to most intraoral cameras, because most intraoral cameras, or the mindset behind the intraoral cameras, I'm taking a single tooth photo, which I don't think any dentist would argue that that increases case acceptance when I use the photo, correct?
Sure.
So the visual aid for me in this instance is the portrait photo. It's their face with their smile, because that photo, and if you think about it, What would you say most patients say when you put that photo on the screen?
If they have a chance to sit there for a second and look at it, they're going to pick it apart. They're going to see things on that smile that they don't normally see at home.
Absolutely. And so that their response to the photo, if I say, hey, Brett, anything you see bother you or don't like about this photo, what do you think most of them say?
They probably start picking themselves apart.
Yeah. Or like if I put their smile photo up there, a lot of people will make it come like, like they'll make some sort of like verbal response, which then allows us to do what? Ask a question. What is it that you don't like?
Yes.
Well, I don't like the color of my teeth. Because how awkward is it to be like, hey, are you happy with the whiteness of your teeth? Like, would you like your teeth to be whiter with no visual aid?
Sure.
Or then like, that's it. That's like.
So are you driving that conversation yourself? Or are you getting a handoff from your hygienist that is critical to beginning this conversation? Yeah.
Again, the question is a two-part question, because the question of how I do it today versus how I did it then is very different. When we first started taking photos and doing this, like our hygienist had never had any sort of like training on how to communicate, or like the handoff for most dentists is they walk in, they're like, yeah, everything looks good. And like, that's, so now what am I supposed to do with that? So the answer is that when I got started, all the team member's job was to do was just take the photos. Then when I came in, the photos needed to be on the screen. I would say, hey, Brett, something we do a little different here is we take you on a tour of your mouth and just show you what we see. So then what I would do is I would just click through the photos. I say, Brett, anything you notice here that bothers you? And then they say, nope. I would say, is it okay if I show you some things I see?
There it is.
That's permission.
There it is.
Permission choice is big.
Yes.
You got to get permission. And if they say, no one's going to be like, well, not suited to no one. 90% of people will be like, sure, show me what you see. So now I've broken down that salesy part of it, because you told me I could show you. And I'll say, hey, do you see this here? This is a cavity. Where you could see this here, this is a big crack. And then patients would be like, what should I do about that? And I'll be like, well, this is a tooth that typically we would try to fix and build it back to where it was. Would you like to do that?
Okay, this is good. This is very practical of exactly what you say to patients. This
very
is
great. Yes. And then I would say, and then they would say, yeah, I want to fix it. And now the key here that I want to point out is, at any point have I talked about treatment? Filling, crown, onlay?
No, dental terms.
Dude, one of my favorite sayings, Brett, is treatment details come after case acceptance. Treatment details come after case acceptance, because it doesn't matter what we're going to do unless the patient wants to fix it. And so my suggestion is if you'll change your verbal communication to, Brett, you have a cavity. Brett, you have a broken tooth. Would you like to fix it? It's kind of funny, because we just assume people want to fix it. But then when they say yes, say no problem. I'll have Jess put together a plan to get that tooth fixed. Most patients say okay. Or they want to know how much it would have cost. There is a smaller group that will say, well, what does that look like? What does that mean?
Okay.
And then I'll say, Well, in this case, that's typically what we call a crown. It's something that we make that's made out of the mouth that covers and protects the tooth. You got any other questions? And then say, can I get a filling?
Can I just get a filling?
Unfortunately, Brett, this tooth is beyond being able to get a filling.
Okay. How long is this going to take?
Something like this probably takes about 2 hours and you'll leave with that one, the permanent that day.
Okay. And how much?
Great question. Something like this is probably around $1,000 or $200 to $300 a month. What I can promise you is before you leave, Jess will make sure that you have in writing what it costs exactly, how you can pay for it, and how long. And I already told you that, so I would just leave those two things.
Beautiful.
Just wash, rinse, repeat. This is learned. You are right. And I don't think most, this is where I think we are spot on in agreement that most dentists go learn all these clinical skills, but they never stand in front of the mirror. They sit with their wife or their spouse or their husband and role play and practice and practice and practice and practice. Like, this stuff doesn't just roll off my tongue because it's, yeah, like, I just know how to say that. It's because, like, practice and you practice and you practice.
And you set expectations with your team that, hey, the images are going to be on the screen. This is the process. Like,
yeah.
You have to lead your team through that. So when you have to drive it.
Yes.
But then also lead your team through the process. Like, it doesn't take an incredibly long period of time if you really just commit to it.
No, but it's inconvenient, though. That's what dentists don't like. Leadership is inconvenient. So to me, leadership is not in a team meeting saying, Brett, we're all going to take photos and I need you to have photos on the screen. That's a part of it. To me, leadership is when I walk to your operatory, Brett, and you don't have photos. I kind of walk in and say, hey, Brett, let me know when you get the photos and I'll be back.
Raising our kids is inconvenient.
It is, dude. It's and it's not much different, by the way. I mean that respectfully, but yeah.
What happens if we don't discipline our kids?
Yeah, I just want to give them the iPad. Like, my life's easier. Like, that doesn't help them.
Long term, it's going to be miserable
for
us. So let's take the time to be inconvenient.
And the dentist, and rightfully so, they're like, gosh, I just need to go check the patient because I got a patient in the chair. I got this patient on the phone. I got this person calling me. Whereas it's inconvenient to say, hey, Brett, I know I'm here. I know you're ready. There's no photos. So I need you to grab the photos. And it's a very polite thing. Hey, Brett, when you get the photos, let me know and I'll be back. It's just a little bit of a...
Hey, you guys have a tough job.
Accountability.
I mean, there's no arguing that. It's all of the things you're juggling within the practice is tough, but ultimately leading you down a path to doing more dentistry that you want to do. Instead of those 12 patients, let's do those six.
Well, I think we're just messed up. We were, not to be a pity party, but we were just misled as an industry in school on what this job entailed.
Expectations are so.
And like, look, like you go to, like most dentists are engineers by trade. Like, we're science, math geeks. We're good with our hands. Like, we get no business school. We get no communication school. Like, we're taught to come out and be a dentist. And then it's like, oh, yeah, go run a business. Go lead 10 or 12 employees. Like, that part is hard because we just didn't know what we were signed up for. And we are wired to think that we'll just out clinically learn. Like, it's a megapascal issue. Like, if my bonding technique is better, all of a sudden I'll get more case acceptance. And it's just not the case.
Well, and let's, if I can put in just one point on
absolutely
skills to humans is voice inflection. Right? So as dentists are listening through this, you're getting a lot of great tools and tips. Be also mindful as you're working through the process. You don't always need to talk at the same level all the time. Like pacing, pausing.
Pacing's huge.
I mean, it's those little things that make a big difference that is learned. But if you'll just put these tools in place, it'll impact you.
Pacing's what I work on. I've been trying to work on a lot. Because if I pause like that, it's amazing how the attention like focuses in. Like, people in the room are like, they kind of turn or look because the monotonous of the pace without the pause or the inflection becomes almost just like ambient noise. Where if I pause or slow down, it does really reorient the conversation to a different level of focus or intention.
100%. It allows people to really absorb what it is that you're trying to say to them, but there's so much to it. So give that a shot. Really work on that pacing, pausing, but then the voice inflection.
That's great. I love that.
This has been great.
This has been fun. I love doing this, man. I do think it's a great industry. And we, the dentist, we're very lucky to be in this position. And it really is a make it what you want it And that's, I think, what I would lead everybody with is you get to create what you want to create, and you shouldn't let people tell you that you have to do certain things. If you don't like dentures, stop doing dentures. If you don't like fillings, stop doing fillings. And people are like, that's not possible. And what I would tell you is, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Every dentistry in the world doesn't do every procedure. So people are making choices not to do certain things. And you can do that. So I hope that people hear this and try to build a little more of what they want, but it does take time. It takes time.
And things we're passionate about. Like, find the things that you are really truly are passionate about and go and exhaust those skill sets and really learn those, because that's where the joy and being joyful in what you do every day. Let's not go to work doing the things we don't love to do.
You know, it's funny. I'll tell a quick story and then we'll get off. So my dad, my dad's like one of my heroes, and he's been, it's been fun to work with him, but it's been hard to work with him because his mindset was very much like a lot of dentists in that, well, if I can do it, I should do it. So I should have this massive menu of services that I offer, all these clinical skills that I've learned. And if Mrs. Jones has seen me for 30 years and she needs a filling, I'm going to do the filling. And we had a conversation one day that I was like, Dad, I get that you feel pulled to serve our community, do all these things, and that delegating dentistry down to the associates is not something that you're worried about doing that. But I was like, here's the deal. There are probably over 1,000 or thousands of dentists in Nashville that can do fillings and crowns. But there are probably only 50 dentists or less that can do what you do when it comes to some of the surgical stuff you do, the implant work you do. So every time that you say yes to a single crown, you're saying no. That could have been served by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in our community. You're saying no to somebody that could only get it if they find you or stumble upon you. So I was like, you have such an impact, and dentists have that kind of impact, that if you're someone that's gone and you've done Coy Spear, Panky Dawson, and you've learned all these things, gosh, I just want to see them use it more. Yes. You know, because that really allows our industry to grow and and really impact our communities at a much, much higher level.
Yes, so. Agree with that.
Cool.
So in a family business, so we're blessed in that way.
Yes.
It presents its own challenges.
Yes, it does. So I think it's more blessings than bad things, though, for sure. Well, I enjoyed this, Brett. This was fun. Everybody, how can they get in touch with you if they want to reach out to you?
digi-doc.com. You guys can reach out to me personally on my email. It's bwilson@digi-doc.com. Love to disconnect and have any type of conversation you want to have.
Yeah, and I want to make a specific plug. I think that our industry is moving towards handheld x-rays. I mean, it's by and large is the clearest thing. So I think one product that you'll have is the XTG. That I think is amazing. So if you're looking for a handheld x-ray, you should definitely check that. I know a lot of people know about Nomad, but frankly speaking, I like this better, the way it handles and works. And so you should check that out. And obviously y'all's intraoral cameras are still, I think, the standard of what quality should be in the industry. But
right on.
I digress on that. All right, we enjoyed it. Y'all take it easy. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.